All right, so now I will try to review for Rich his material on standard essential patents in Fran. So the issues here have to do with damages in a couple of contexts. One is if you are asserting infringement of a standard essential patent or a SEP, how should those damages be determined, and how is that different than determining damages for infringement of any other patent? The other issue that comes up, because the standard essential patents are under standard-setting organizations that set guidance for licensing, so the licenses should be FRAND or fair, reasonable, non-discriminatory. And courts are then asked to determine if offers for licensing that have been made comply with those FRAND requirements. And finally, there is now shown government interest, both the FTC and the DOJ, interest in antitrust implications of licensing, FRAND licensing, and licensing for SEPs. So we'll try to touch on each of those through these slides. So there's one Federal Circuit case that gives us some guidance into looking at damages for SEPs. And this is in the Erickson versus D-Link case, and it had to do with three patents that were alleged to be essential under IEEE 802.11n Wi-Fi standard. And what the Federal Circuit told us is that apportionment applies in these cases just like it does in any other case. You've got to apportion to the value of the invention. But even more particularly, for patents that are part of a standard, two special apportionments must be considered. So first, the patented feature has to be apportioned from all the unpatented feature in the standard. But second, the value that may be enhancing the value of a SEP can't be considered as part of the damages consideration. So you have to apportion away from the royalty any value adhering to the adoption of that patent into the standard. All right, and so now we have other cases that are on appeal, and maybe we'll get some further guidance from the Federal Circuit soon. In the Central District of California, there's a decision in a case, TCL versus Erickson. And after a bench trial, the district court there determined that Erickson had not breached its obligations for FRAND under the ETSI policies, but that the offered rates were not FRAND. So it had made reasonable offers, but those offers had not resulted in FRAND licensing. And the court set rates that it determined were FRAND under Erickson's set portfolios. And so the way that the court went about its determination of royalties in this case is a little different than had been done in some other cases. So the court here applied a top-down approach. So with the standards, there's frequently a guiding rate that says if you're using the standard, what percentage of overall product value might be a fair payment for that standard. So the court here started with that and then apportioned down, so a top-down approach, looking down to the apportionment to the value of the particular Erickson patents. And this is different than a bottom-up approach where you might start with licensing or other typical damages approaches and look at value of the license for licensing particular patents and more consistent with what might be used in other patent infringement cases and using that then to infer from the bottom up what the value or the appropriate royalty would be for those particular patents that were asserted. This case had an oral argument at the Federal Circuit waiting on opinion. The arguments here, there was an argument that the bench trial violated Erickson's Seventh Amendment right to a jury trial for determining the payment. There was also a concern raised that the FRAND analysis was flawed because it looked, as I said, at the top-down approach, looking at the percentage as a total of declared essential patents. In these SEP cases, there's a lot of disagreement and issues in determining how to appropriately determine how many of the declared essential patents are actually essential. So it's agreed that many, many patents are declared essential that are not, in fact, essential to carrying out the standard, and that in any apportionment, looking at the overall rate, would certainly make a difference, so that if you have a rate of 10% and half of the patents are actually not essential, then that would make a big difference in determining the contribution value of the actually essential patents. So the position of Erickson was that that was not adequately addressed by the court's Frand analysis. And finally, one of the arguments that Erickson raised with the court was that the district court improperly rejected Erickson's prior licensing evidence that supported an amount per unit, a dollar per unit rate, rather than a percentage per unit rate, so that the basis of the royalty determined by the court was found was argued to be inappropriate by Erickson. And this is kind of an interesting argument because there's another case that's also that's now on appeal at the Fifth Circuit. It's an Eastern District of Texas case, HTC versus Erickson. And in that case, it's HTC arguing that the royalty should be based on the smallest saleable patent practicing unit and should not be based on the overall value of the product. And in that case, HTC is arguing that the jury was not adequately instructed on how to apportion down to the actual value of the patents at issue. And in that case, the DOJ and the USPTO filed a joint amicus brief saying that this argument that there should have been greater apportionment down to the value of the particular patents, or to use the patent practicing unit as the basis for determining appropriate royalty, was not helpful, because those rules that would be asked for under that request would damage the patent licensing market. And the indication from the government was that they felt the evidence from licensing was important, and that because licenses existed, that could be used, and there was no need for further apportionment, which kind of raises the question, is that consistent with the guidance from the Federal Circuit that the value attributable to the inclusion of a patent in the standard should be apportioned away in determining the appropriate royalty for damages in a SEPS case?